Good morning. Welcome to Dig in the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldine, and this week, one of our longest supporters, Master Gardener, owner of Brim's Farm and Garden, Linda Brim. Good morning.
Thank you. Hi, Ann. Thanks for not saying oldest supporters.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about emergency preparedness for and with your garden, looking at your garden as a possible source of assistance, shelter, food during an emergency. So where should we start?
Well, I wanted to kind of run through garden disasters, and that's a little bit of a little paradoxical on a beautiful day like today. But today is a good day to go out and peruse the garden for things that might prevent a catastrophe. So many different things happen on the coast, and tomorrow we have a high wind watch. So that should get your antenna up for dangerous trees, the possibility of your gutters being overloaded with leaf litter and needle litter, which can raise havoc in your beds. You may have a garden shed or building or a roof that is in poor repair that needs to be shored up, tarped, or in some way prepared for winter to prevent damage inside or, you know, possible injury. There could be hose bibs. You could have drip irrigation, other irrigation. Your garden hoses should all be drained and put away for the winter so that when the freezes come, and we know they will, they're not going to be inoperable.
Okay, so today would be a good day.
Their gutters need to be.
Yeah, clean out the gutters and put away the hoses. So
yep.
Okay.
Yep. Get those. A friend of mine calls them house boobs, the little hose outlets, faucet outlets covered with the insulated caps that go on there. And there's nothing worse than having those freeze and break inside the house when they thaw out. That can really be an expensive mess. You can also have plants out there that might be a little bit susceptible to an unseasonable warming trend. Let's say you've got some marginal plants, hebes, or maybe even more common things, rosemary. Some of the plant material that's zone 7, maybe it was planted late. Let's say it started getting really warm. I mean, it's not unusual for us to see a warm spell around Thanksgiving or even into December. A lot of the roses that haven't gone dormant and dropped their leaves can actually start putting on a growth spurt, and then wham, January rolls around, they get a really hard freeze, and they get knocked back so badly that they don't have a root system strong enough to support that, and they end up croaking on you. So things to do would be to prepare some covers, remake cover, old bed sheets, some burlap, take some old bags and rip them up and place them over the top. Or build some little screens out of bamboo and just clip on some protective fencing or netting around the plants to keep that east wind off of them, to keep them from freezing out.
It sounds like you're talking about mostly new plantings?
Yes.
So if you have an established rose bed and established hebes that are, you know, like 5-6 years old,
that's usually not a problem.
Okay. Unless, because they've put up with a lot of other awful stuff.
Yes. Let's say you have a banana. Mm-hmm. Something that we know is pushing the envelope as far as being hardy here.
And there are people
get distracted.
Who have
to, yes. Yeah. Don't get distracted, because if you forget about doing these kind of things, you can get caught and they freeze.
I think if you have a tropical plant like that and you don't cover it, you've probably wasted your money.
Well, I don't mind, because you'll come and see me and buy more.
That's true. That's true. Okay. But so you could easily save it, unless it's, if we have a sustained freeze for a week, you probably lose it anyway. But if we don't, then.
Well, you can easily wrap them in burlap and then bubble wrap. And the other thing that you want to be watching for too is plants that don't like to be wet. If you haven't dug in some gravel or properly prepared the soil, then you may want to think about moving some plants that are going to be, especially anything in the succulent family. There's a lot of beautiful succulents that have really become They've just been a profusion on the market. So a lot of people have a really nice succulent garden. But some of the echeveras and agaves, there's a lot of plants that just don't like to be wet. That constant wet on the leaves is going to melt them. And if you don't get them in and protect them under an eave or in some kind of an alcove, even in a garage, you're going to lose them. So things to be looking out for today to prevent those disasters.
And since it's not raining, it's a great day to do it.
It is. Yes. Other things that can happen is predation from deer. Call it predation. It's not, they're not really eating, and they're not carnivores, but they can be nibbling. So you want to be watching for new herds that might move into your garden. As things change in the wintertime, the deer will start migrating to different areas to find forage and bed down. Moles can also make a mess. And
so even in the winter?
Especially in the winter. The mole activity can really cause a problem that we see. We'll get master gardeners will get calls about plants that are wilting, unexplained leaf spotting. Plants are all of a sudden showing signs of stress due to the fact that a mole has undermined the root system and they're not getting enough water, or the exposure to air in the root system is just causing part of the plant to die off. So, you know, keeping your moles in check. I mean, moles aren't a horrible thing in the garden, but if they get into your beds, they can really kill a lot of plants. So there's castor oil in pellet form that you can drop down. There's a worm that you can put down that would actually kill them. If you don't want to kill them, you can just use the castor oil and keep them away with the scent of the castor oil or trapping.
So the Ex-Lax,
lots of wives' tales.
That one doesn't work.
People swear by Wrigley's gum. They swear by some horrible concoctions that are really toxic to the garden and to the person who's applying them. But actually, use the ones that are recommended.
Okay. I didn't find the Ex-Lax worked at all. But we got my daughter's cat, and he's fabulous. He's
nice.
Probably caught 8 moles.
Oh, good kitty.
Yeah, since last July when he came.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. So maybe we won't have moles.
You may not. You may not. They're not like mice. They don't reproduce like crazy. That's another thing that
that's good
you
to know.
Should be watching for. If you're feeding the birds or if you have dogs and cats that you're feeding outside, you're going to have rodents that are going to start coming in with the cooler weather. They're going to be looking for any place where they feel heat, and they're going to start nesting and reproducing like crazy. So
hopefully the cats will stay on top of them.
Keep a rodent vigil going and try to keep all of your foodstuffs that are outside in containers that they can't break into. If you left for a long period of time, they could chew through a plastic storage container. I like to use the aluminum, but I've had good success with the tall garbage cans for horse feed and bird feed and that type of thing. Just keep it swept up. That's really important. The other thing that you should be looking around for in terms of preparing for the cold that we know is coming is your pottery collection. Even bird baths, when it freezes really hard, if there's a lot of water that, you know, you have to think about it freezing, it's going to expand. So that is going to force even a pot that is well drained. If for some reason that drain becomes plugged or freezes and it's not draining out as fast as it's freezing, you're going to lose a lot of pottery. So you can either tip your pottery on its side and prevent it from holding water that way, or just bring them in. Bird baths, if you can put something in there, I read a really good suggestion in one of the magazines, and they were saying that barley straw balls, the barley balls you can put in your bird bath, and it absorbs enough of the water expansion that it prevents the surface tension that causes your bird bath to freeze. So that's a really good way to go too. Because you want to have that bird bath going out there.
What if you have a saucer? It's not a pot. It's more like a plate with a little up on the edges.
A bird bath?
Well, it's a whatever. It's a piece of art in the garden, and I have a couple of them. Are they going to freeze and
very climb? Possibly. Okay. Depends on how thick they are, how cold it freezes.
So they could just come in.
They should, or lift them so that they drain. Mm-hmm. You don't want a lot of
They don't have holes in them.
Yeah, you don't want that surface. If it's deep in the center, you don't want that expanding and breaking off the top or cracking it right down the middle. I've seen it happen. Mm. I've seen it happen with huge concrete vessels too. So you don't want to get too cocky about stuff out there that...
Oh, because this is so big that...
Right, right.
Okay, now you said something about if the holes were plugged. So another thing might be to get with a stick in the hole.
Absolutely.
And make sure that that's draining.
Yes, and check your pot feet. Sometimes, I don't know how it happens, but sometimes things just kind of wiggle off their pot feet. And then you find that you've got your pot drain hole is in direct contact with concrete or wood, which is not a good thing. So you want to lift that up, tip it, like you say, stick in there and poke around and make sure that you've got a good hole going. Sometimes plant material, especially trees and shrubs in pots, will grow the roots all the way down into the hole, and then they'll want to start coming out. And in that case, you've really got to get in there and do some root pruning. You got to pull the tree or shrub out, do some root pruning, and then replant it. Or the plant could potentially die.
Mm-hmm.
Something else to think about is being prepared with water in the case of, let's say in our case, we're on a well, so we don't have a way to water things. If it's really cold and there's no power, you know, what are you going to do to water things that are pulled in undercover that need to be kept maintained? Because I have a lot of shrubs on my front porch. And one way you can avoid that is having a drum of water or some source of water, milk jugs, just an emergency source of water for your plants. I use the hot tub, and that worked really good during the hurricane.
Well, obviously it was cold. It wasn't hot because there was no power.
Exactly.
And yeah. Then what about the chemicals on the plants?
We use very little chemical.
Uh-huh.
Very, very little.
Also, if it sits for a few days...
It outgasses within 24 hours, so it's better to have maybe a little bit of chlorine salt in the soil than to have a plant that is totally dry and desiccates in a freeze. That's dead. You know, you might have a little bit of salt damage on the soil that you can remediate with some compost in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you don't have to use the hot tub. It could be any kind of a tank that's catching rainwater off of a building or just sitting out. A couple 5-gallon buckets of water fill up pretty fast in a rainstorm.
Yeah, well, but it seems like, you know, in an emergency, people are probably not going to be thinking about the plants that are undercover.
That's why we want you to get out there today and think about it when it's nice.
Do some
forward thinking.
Because
we all know it's coming.
Right. Hopefully not as bad as 07.
Yes. The other thing that I wanted people to think about is getting your hands on some really good information. And I'm sorry, I was supposed to go back and get the name of Vern Nelson's book. Vern Nelson came to Spring Garden Seminar a few years ago. He has a wonderful Bible. It's a field guide of edible plants. Do you remember what it was called?
Oh, I don't. I interviewed him as well when he was here.
It's an encyclopedia of things that are edible, and he does live in the Northwest, so there is a really good gravitation towards things that we would find here. In an emergency, if, you know, push came to shove and we were really stuck, not able to get out, or if you lived out in the tule weeds, have a good idea of what is edible in your in your property or in the neighborhood. There are a lot of plants out there that we can eat. And the flip side of that is be very, very conscious of things that you could get into that may kill you. You know, you certainly wouldn't want to start picking mushrooms as a novice because there's so many out there that can just, you know, ruin your liver in a matter of minutes. So be really careful about picking plants. But something to think about when we come back.
That sounds good. Yeah, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about more ways to be prepared, things to do today, and also things to be doing and thinking about over the next couple of months. You're listening to Digging the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Master Gardener and nursery owner Linda Brim. We'll be right back. We're back. If you're just joining us, this is Digging the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldine, and I'm with Linda Brim. We're talking about how to be prepared for the winter, and also how to use your yard in an emergency. Okay, so let's go with you wanted to talk about how to use your garden as shelter.
If
yes. your house became uninhabitable, if you had a tree in your house, or an earthquake destroyed your house, or some way that your house wasn't habitable.
Well, the best thing to do is to have a plan. And if you know that you have a tree that is going to blow over someday, get a handle on it. It probably will happen sooner or later. So there's several good arborists in the area. If you need help with getting a tree like that down, make the call and have it evaluated, get a price to get it taken care of. Also, eye the garden as far as knowing where the prevailing winds come from and looking for areas where you've got good evergreen brush or trees, maybe a bamboo hedge or some kind of an evergreen hedge that you could set up a tent structure.
It seems like it's always a good idea to have a tent, even if you don't camp.
Yes.
Because you never know when that area where your hedge is might end up being where you can put a tent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Trees where you can highline guy wires to hang tarps off of. A place where you can build a warming fire. The things that you're going to need in an emergency, and maybe not for very long, maybe just a day or two, maybe just overnight. But if you did have to get out of your home and you weren't able to travel or to get assistance from a neighbor or emergency crews, you need to be self-sufficient. And I know Red Cross has really been working hard at getting people to have their travel kits in their car and have a kit somewhere stashed where you can grab it and go. But the reality is that if there was an earthquake or something catastrophic like that,
where would you go?
Good chances are that place, that vehicle, or that alternative location for your grab and go bag may not be available. So have several in mind, and also be thinking about a place where, if you did need to go somewhere else, where you had a plan to meet family, maybe you need to store a grab and go bag in somebody else's garden shed. Maybe you need to have a neighborhood plan, or if you knew that your home, on a third floor in a tsunami was, possibly a safe place, but in reality, more marginal, then having an offsite location for your grab and go stuff would be smarter.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that you need to be thinking about is shelter, water, food, and heat. You probably want to have some light, so some kind of flashlight.
Spare batteries.
Yes, spare batteries. If you have solar lights in the garden, they're really nice for a short period of time in the evening, but they don't last very long because we don't get enough foot candles to keep them going and really be as strong as they are in the summertime. So don't count on your solar path lighting to get you through the night in an emergency. Some other things that you can be looking at are, what foods can you be growing now in the case of, being cut off from civilization and food source? So just right in the garden right now, we have Swiss chard. We have a little bit of celery left. You can leave your carrots in the ground, turnips.
Potatoes.
There's just a lot of material that you can leave in the garden and harvest from for a long, long period of time.
All winter.
Yeah.
Well, unless they've just mung out.
They may.
Like Swiss chard in February can be pretty gone. But you could have it up until then.
Exactly.
And what about, is there anything we could plant now if we blew it and there's not much out there?
Only if you start it with
a
little bit of help. Yeah. No, if you started from seed with some lights.
Okay. So like starting in the house under some lights.
Absolutely. Under some grow lights.
And then try to put them out.
You'd have to have some kind of a little cloche for them, a little box to keep them going.
Okay.
A really cheap, cool method that a lot of people are going to be pulling out their Christmas lights here pretty soon. You can take those low wattage white Christmas lights and put them in a clear sweater box, which you can pick up really cheap. And then put your seed flats on top of that. Those create just enough light to give you a really good heat mat. It's super cheap.
Okay, so but
easy.
Okay, but if you have a heat mat, a lot of people probably have heat mats.
Heat mats are expensive.
Yeah, but
nothing wrong with a heat mat.
No, but if you already own one, I mean, like, we don't think about using it this time of year, so that we could start seeds with that
really quickly,
and then use the lights for the light.
Well, you want full spectrum light, ideally, but you know, a bright window is going to be probably sufficient for most crops that you're going to be growing in the winter.
In the west window with a flat of whatever seeds on it.
Yes. Yeah. Get you up and going.
That sounds good. Well, you know, most people have tons and bags and drawers of seeds. You know, no, you don't ever use the whole container of seeds.
Right.
So that'd be cool.
So when you do put them out in the garden, have a plastic cover. You can recycle bags. You can use gallon milk jugs. You're going to need something to keep that driving rain off of them so that they don't just get pounded down by the wind and the rain and the hail. And keep them going.
Mm-hmm. Do you need to keep them covered the whole time?
Probably. I mean, like a day like today, you could take them off.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to need light. They're not going to come on like gangbusters. You're not going to be able to grow a salad garden. You're going to be looking at greens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but greens is what we need in the winter
anyway.
Exactly.
It is.
Yeah, yes. All those vitamins and minerals. Yeah, we got to have all that.
So if you have a place where you can have a garden box going in the wintertime in a semi-heated area, I mean, our garden box in our unheated greenhouse is fabulous. We're harvesting lettuce off of that. Then that was planted, I believe, about the middle of September.
Okay, so if someone has either heated or unheated greenhouse, could they start seeds in there right now then?
Sure.
Mm.
With a heat mat, you're going to need some help with a heat mat, and you're going to need some extra light.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have enough day length and we don't have enough bright light with the cloud cover that we get here. You're going to need some assistance with full spectrum light tubes.
Can do that.
Yep. Easily done.
That sounds good.
But again, don't be greedy. You're not going to be able to start tomatoes and get a tomato crop unless you've got some serious lights going. That's really...
Right. Oh,
that's tough.
Yeah, that's probably not survival food.
But if you did have a garden this summer and you're properly storing your onions and potatoes, apples, you could even have an apple tree in the garden that's going to be a source of fruit in an emergency. You know, there's also, you know, things that you can do to preserve those, you know, either canning or freezing. Obviously, a freezer's not going to be running in lack of electricity, but...
Yeah, that's been making me think more about canning. Not that I've done it, but think about it.
Yeah, canning is definitely the way to go as far as not requiring anything to keep it secure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Other things that we kind of touched on the water source, but if you are in my situation where you're on a well and can't pull water during a power outage because there's no way we can hook a generator up to our well. It's a 220 and we haven't wired our well for an emergency generator. Using, again, the barrel or, in our case, the hot tub for a water source and having backup water for people to drink is really important. So
container, like a gallon jug, milk jugs with water in them.
Yes.
We always keep those. Of course, I use them all the time for plant, you know, watering indoor plants.
What I do is they just kind of get in the way and I lose track of what is potable water and what is utility water. So I keep the potable water in the freezer. And the cool thing about doing that is the longer it's frozen, the harder the ice is. So if we don't use them during the winter for drinking water, when we go camping, they stay frozen a lot longer because they've been frozen longer. It's harder ice.
And you would use it to keep food cold when you're camping?
We just throw it in the cooler. Yes, and then as it thaws, then we can drink it.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
It's pretty handy.
We had a caller who wanted to know about if we're feeding outside animals, are we encouraging cats, and how maybe not such a good idea if you're in town, right?
Cats, we can control their predation on birds by putting a little bell on them, and the birds are pretty smart. They get smart to that. They'll fly away before the cat can do any damage. But that is one of the worst things that you want to come upon. Here you are feeding the birds and, you know, your cat or a neighbor's cat comes slinking in and you find bird feathers everywhere. So, you know, you would have to talk to your neighbors. A lot of cats have no boundaries. So that is a tough one. When it's not your cat, you know, what do you do?
Well, you certainly don't want to feed low enough that the cats can get to them.
Right.
I mean,
but the ground feeders are the ones that generally, they're pretty savvy. And, you know, it's usually, you know, the ones that are not quite as healthy or possibly younger that would get caught by a cat. But you sure don't want them getting eaten when you're working so hard to feed them.
Right, right. If you don't think that's appropriate, it's okay. So if people have something that needs to get out of a pot and in, maybe into another pot, maybe the pot's yucky or they've outgrown the pot, is this a good time to do that?
This is a great time to do it. You want to be conscious of the plant zone. And if you do have to do a lot of root pruning to either put it back in the same pot or put it into another pot to, you know, when you take out the girdling roots, the root system is then going to be a little bit susceptible to freezing out. So placing it in a play in an area where it's not going to take a really tough east freeze, keeping it out of the wind is going to make it a lot more likely to survive a cold winter.
That sounds good. All right. So I got a lot of work to do today.
Yeah. we did have a question about locating a book, and they tried the library with no luck. The bookstores are really good about tracking down books. If you have part of the title, you don't know the author, just go in and they'll track it down for you. A lot of times they can do it by subject matter. So just be patient, but sometimes, you know, it'll take them a little bit of digging.
If it's in print, they can get it. Or the other way is to go online and search, you know, if you don't have any luck locally, but they pretty much local booksellers will get you whatever book you want.
Yes. And then the Library of Congress, obviously, would be another good source.
Mm-hmm. You've been listening to Dig in the Dirt. My guest has been Linda Brim, and we've been talking about emergency preparing for the garden. Thanks a lot, Linda.
Thanks, Anne. It was fun.